Representative Hill moves to remove major on line 12 and again on line 27. I believe those are the two places it's used.
Page 10.
Page 10, line 17. Is that it, Elizabeth?
I think so.
Yes, Representative Hill.
It appears to me that we don't, when we allow development on EFU zones, whether it's through exceptions or anything else, it should be conditioned on not forcing the farmer to change their production, their right to farm. And so I think it's essential that we protect the farmer's rights.
Representative Anderson.
If I'm reading the bill right, we're only dealing with those 3 acres or less lots, period. And to say that if the cause 1 cent would change in that farm operation, say you can't build on that 3 acre lot, I think is overly restrictive.
Madam Chair?
I believe in this first section we're dealing with non-farm dwelling, Representative right. Anderson.
And
the
you second, read it
yes,
below.
If you're dealing with lot of record there.
What line are you on?
Representative Manlewin, in talking about major change on line 12, refers to a non-farm dwelling. When on line 27, the major change refers to a lot of record on EFU land. When you talk on line 17, on the notice requirements, that the written objection can be only on the grounds that the dwelling or activities associated would force a major change.
Madam Chair.
Representative Drew.
On the first blush, I find the proposed change kind of attractive, but I think Representative Anderson's argument is pretty compelling. And I think it is really restrictive. I would support Representative Anderson's position, and just because of the restrictiveness that would create, I would have to oppose the motion.
Representative Hill.
I don't think that, it doesn't seem reasonable to me that a dwelling would be denied because there would be an increase of $10 in the cost of farming the land next door. It would have to be an increase of cost that was measurable, a significant. It would be have to be reasonably measurable.
Elizabeth?
I think that measurable, $10 is measurable, and I think a very good argument could be made, and I think the intent, I could be wrong, but I think the intent was that if it is measurable, if you can quantify it, if it's just, oh, it's going to cause me some trouble, it's not measurable. But if you can say it cost me $10 to do such and such, it's measurable.
But it can be measurable, as a matter of fact.
Several thousand dollars is measurable. Where do we draw the line? How do we draw the line?
One penny. I mean, I think that's how, if you talk about the word measurable, you can measure, I mean, and no one's going to be ridiculous enough to use one penny, but you can measure if it is $10 or $25, that is a measurable amount of money.
Madam Chair.
Representative Drew.
The modifier for change is making that less restrictive, and the modifier on, well, let's see a minute.
Cost is more restrictive.
Yeah.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm.
A major change that is less restrictive because it you define something significant that happens.
Here we go.
Measurably increase the cost of accepted farming.
Well, that's actually broadening too, isn't it?
Not really. One is broader.
Wouldn't increase the cost? Be narrower than measurably increase the cost?
Potentially.
Mm-hmm. So both of those are broadening the statement.
Representative Anderson.
We're dealing
line 12
with 3 acre lots or less, period.
Motion
it seems to me that we merely believe in the language will not force a major change in the cost of accepted farming practices. That tells it all.
Depending on what we mean by major.
That doesn't mean $10, that means $100.
Let's put in $100.
Representative Anderson, again, I will point out to you on lines 11, 12, and 13, that is for
non-farm dwellings are the 3 acres, and that's all you're going to ever get.
Lot of record is 3 acres, non-farm dwellings is not.
Can a lot of record go in and
live? Scott, would you, Representative Anderson would like to know what the difference is between a non-farm dwelling and a lot of record.
Madam Chair, Representative Anderson, I think what we're talking about in this section is the is a non-farm dwelling that would be allowable in an exclusive farm use zone. The lot of record provision, as I understand it, is a part of the marginal land part of. You mean you put it into this part? I wasn't looking.
We're not to that part yet.
Page 9, 22 through 28.
Okay.
And on the other page, too.
Madam Chair, Representative Anderson, in your EFU zone now, subject to specific criteria, you can approve non-farm parcels and home sites. This bill proposes to limit those to Class 4 through 8 soils, but still leaves in the option based on these criteria that you're looking at now of approving those on those soils. The bill then goes on at the bottom of the page and puts in a lot of record provision, and it's only the lot of record provision which applies to parcels created from 48 to 83, but only those that are below 3 acres in size. The problem with the lot of record bill, or one aspect of it, is that you then have to do a compatibility review based on the same criteria and provide notice. And that's where this criteria comes in, a lot of record.
I'm going to chair the follow-up. We're given that we're allowing on 3 acres on a farm, all of them, or less. And we have to go through the same hoops on soils class 4 through 8, which may or may not be marginal. I guess what we're saying.
I think Representative Anderson, let me try to go
through
the
system.
4 through 8 would be marginal, and therefore it would make no sense to whether that dwelling was going to cause a 1 cent increase.
Let's take it one part at a time. On lands 4 through 8, you can put a non-farm dwelling. Currently in the law, you can put a non-farm dwelling on EFU land. The criteria are the parts that have been deleted in line 5 through 10. It's compatible with farm uses, does not interfere seriously with accepted farming practice, does not materially alter the stability of the overall land use pattern of the area. That is a criteria they use now under non-farm dwellings. There was some feeling, as I understand, and Scott, you can speak to us, that was fairly arbitrary language and it was redundant. What they are asking in this bill is that non-farm dwellings, first of all, can only be put on lands 4 through 8, non-farm dwelling, and that the test it would have to meet is that it is would not force a major change or measurably increase the cost of accepting farming practices on nearby lands devoted to farm use in those soil classifications. Now, I guess I would ask Scott or Dick or someone else if what would happen on those non-farm dwellings since they're on 4 through 8 land And I have to remind you, we do have a motion before us. If you had the language that Representative Anderson asked for, that the dwelling or activities associated with the dwelling will not force a major change of accepted farming practices on nearby lands. I believe that was what you asked for.
Not force a major change in the cost.
In the cost, but not force a major change in the cost.
Well, it should be more than the cost. Excuse me,
Madam Chair, can I make a comment before it gets launched off? I want to. There's a an example that I can give from experience of well, the first thing is that we're talking here about the interference criteria, and now this lot of record provision that you're talking about, lines 22 through 28 on page 9, the one that starts there, this merely applies the interference criteria to that. To that lot of record,
right.
as it is already applied above to non-farm dwellings
right.
in the AFU zones. An example of how these things can interfere, and I don't even know if you would be able to describe it as a measurable increase of cost, but up in Union County, there was a fellow made some money up in Portland. I believe he was a publisher or in design or something, and he bought a very small, I guess you'd call it a ranchette, up in a very thin, beautiful valley up in that area. And I don't know exactly what the timber situation would be there with the soil classification, but they were non-farmers, and he commuted in the weekend, and his family lived there. He had a couple of horses. He's probably getting farm use assessment on the thing. From the minute that they moved in, they just raised the dickens with all of the surrounding farmers and ranchers up there. I remember that because I was putting an irrigation pipe in that area at the time. And force them to put up no trespassing signs and all this kind of thing, and just one thing after the other. I don't know if you could really measure any of that sort of interference, but I think that before a person applies for a non-farm residence in an exclusive farming use zone that's being ranched, being farmed, as this area was up there, that due consideration should be taken of the farmers and the ranchers' practices and what they're doing up there. They're creating food and fiber. For us, and these people interfered in a way with everything they did. But as to whether or not you could measure the increase in the cost or in the change of the practices, I don't know if you could. But they continue to do so.
Yeah.
Dick Metter from 1000 Friends. Let me see if I can put this in perspective for you. I think you understand what this provision in the exclusive farm use statute does. It says that when the EFU zone is painted across the countryside, there are often little pockets, parts of farms or pockets, that are poor soils or for one reason or another are unsuitable for farming. And the law says here that on those lands that are generally unsuitable for farm use, if a house won't interfere, it can be built in an EFU zone. The changes that you see on lines 11 through 13 and lines 17 through 19 are changes that were recommended to the Joint Legislative Committee on Land Use by the EFU Task Force during the interim. That task force was established by the Joint Committee. The Joint Committee looked at those recommendations and agreed that these were good recommendations, these changes, and included them in Senate Bill 234. When Senate Bill 237 was introduced on the Senate side, that committee decided to take these changes from 234 and stick them into this bill so that they would all be together. I was on that task force, and we had two objectives as we were looking over the existing criteria for non-farm dwellings. Based on my experience and the experience of a couple of county councils and county planners and Ron Eber, we thought collectively that the existing criteria were not very good. They were not very good for several reasons. They were very vague, very difficult for counties to apply on a case-by-case basis. Let me give you an example. Mm-hmm. Lines 7 and 8 say that the dwelling does not interfere seriously. Seriously, of course, is the modifier for interfere, and it doesn't have any very clear meaning. Counties have a tough time applying it. Courts have a tough time reviewing it. In my experience, in the many non-farm dwelling applications that I've looked at that counties have made, I'm not aware of any single non-farm dwelling that has ever been rejected by a county based on that criterion. We looked it over
we kicked it around for about six meetings over a six-month course, and we instead we decided we would try to make it more precise so that it was usable, and we tried to focus on what the farmer was really concerned about, and what the farmer's really concerned about is increasing costs and changing his practices. So we settled on this language. It represents somewhat of a compromise. The Farm Bureau Federation wanted to leave major away from change, and they wanted to take measurably away from increase. The counties, on the other hand, wanted to say major change and wanted to say significantly increase. The consensus was that if you say significantly increase, that's not much different from seriously interfere, and it wouldn't really get us anywhere. So the language that we settled on was major change or measurably increase. The intent there is by saying measurably increase, the burden is on the farmer to show that his concern or her concern about the non-farm dwelling actually can be measured. Can't just come in and say, I don't want another house next to me because it's another house and it's going to cause a problem. The burden is on the farmer to say, it's going to cause this kind of problem, I'm going to have to change my spray pattern, or I'm going to have to move my drain tiles or something like that. What has been done here in toto is there, you see A, B, C, D under the existing law. That has been condensed. That's really five criteria under existing law, because there are two hidden in A. Is compatible with farm uses and is consistent with the intent and purposes set forth in 215.243. That's on lines 5 and 6. Okay, the EFU task force and the joint committee took those five criteria, condensed them into two, tried to make them more precise, the objective being that now counties will only have to make two findings, they only have two criteria to apply instead of five, and they're more precise than they were in the past. That was what the objective was, and that's what the joint committee went for, and that's what you have before you.
Thank you. Representative Anderson.
I guess I come back again to that if you're going to have to change your flight pattern or so on, that's major, and that's pretty much okay. Just because you put a fence around your property, obviously you're not going to be able to plow into the corner. That's an increase in cost, and that's probably in a no man's land somewhere. But if you force a change that we just heard that costs 1 cent, that farmer can deny that 3-acre parcel on the EFU has never been used.
Representative Anderson, that's of course a possibility. I think it's so remote, it's hardly worth thinking about, because I think if you look at the experience in farm zones, farmers want to get along with their neighbors. Uh-huh. And a farmer is not going to object to a change or having to spend $10 to accommodate, if that's the only thing, to accommodate the next door neighbor. As a matter of fact, I think this interference test, whether you leave it the existing language or you go to the improved language, it's probably only going to help avoid a non-farm dwelling in a fairly unusual situation like the bird versus stringer situation, where the interference is so direct that the farmer is going to be very concerned about it and can come forward with hard evidence of a major impact, where the cherry orchard and the person wants to put the house right in the path of the spray plane, and it's going to cause the operator either to change the path of the spray plane or go to hand spraying on the ground.
That's major. I guess I just still fail to see a difference.
We have a motion on the floor right now to delete the words major on line 12, on line 27, on line on page 9, and on line 17 on page 10.
Okay, you also have the same wording on the hand.
Representative Hill.
May I suggest that I may amend my own motion to have it read a change which will measurably increase? No? That says no. So it would be a change that will result in an increase.
Where's the other major?
Madam Chair?
Representative Hill, can I get a clarification on your motion?
Let's divide it. We'll just go with the first motion. Major. deleting major.
Representative Hill moves that we remove major in those three places. Any discussion? Clerk, would you call the roll?
Representative Parkinson?
No.
Representative Priestley?
No.
Representative Traeger?
Guess not.
No.
Representative Van Hoen?
No.
Representative Anderson?
No.
Representative Bradbury?
No.
Representative Hill?
Aye.
Sheriff Lee?
No. Motion fails. I know people sitting in the audience and the committee are very tired. We will try to see how much we can get done by 7:30 or 8, but we will be through by 8. But we're going to be uninterrupted since session just got over with.
Yay.
Wait, I have Representative Anderson and Representative Traeger.
Madam Chair, I would move to strike the words or majorly increase on lines 12 and 27 on page 9 and line 17 on page 10.
Wait a minute.
Representative Anderson moves to delete the word measurably.
Or measurably increase.
Representative Anderson moves to delete or measurably increase, so it would read, the dwelling or activity associated with the dwelling will not force a major change in the cost of accepted farming practices. Any discussion? Clerk, would you call the roll?
Wait, wait, wait. Just a minute, Chairman. Let us think on that a minute. We've considerably changed that now because the way the sentence was constructed before, it does two things there. A major change in the accepted farming practices and a major change in the cost of accepting farming practices. And with Representative Anderson's measure,
it would only be the cost.
How are they still both there? It's only the cost.
The change and the cost are both there.
No, they're not.
Representative Anderson, the line would read, will not force a major change in the cost of accepted farming practices. So it would be in the cost of the farming practice. By deleting those two words, or deleting those three words, or measurably increase, right now you have...
May I amend the motion then?
You can... Yes?
A major change in the farming practices, or the cost of...
Friendly?
Accepted.
What is it, Chair?
Representative,
the intent then is a major change in accepted farming practices or a major change in the cost?
Right. Or a major change in
the practices or the cost.
So you would have major, major.
Right.
Major change in the practice or a major change in the cost is really what we're looking at.
Madam Chair.
Representative Drew.
A question for the maker of the motion. What's the problem with the existing language?
Existing language but when we use the word measurably increase, that means literally 1 cent. That means there would never be a home built in 3 acres or any home, even if you put a fence around it and you can't plow into it, that's out. It costs more than 1 cent.
Madam Chair, I thought we had testimony before the committee that indicated that that would be a very, 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 very remote possibility, that's certainly, unless there's some testimony otherwise, I personally don't see the need for the motion. I don't see that a 1 cent change would meet that particular definition.
Representative Hill.
Let's do a little work for the counties or the courts and decide what a major change is in the cost. Instead of letting them decide whether it's $5 or $100 or $1,000, why don't we tell them what it is? Representative Anderson, what would a major change in the cost be?
A major change in the cost now might be insignificant 20 years from now. If you
and how you're going to write that kind of legislation, I don't know.
We could index it to inflation. It's going to go to court. The court's going to say, what's a measurable change or a major change?
I think it's a lot easier for the court to decide the difference between measure and measurably. Measurably means 1 cent. Major, they'd have to decide whether it was $500, $1,000.
Well, you must have something in mind. Is it 200 or
it would
500?
Vary from circumstance to circumstance.
2% of the cost of operating the farm, or one half, 1%, or
that would vary from farm to farm, from operation to operation, too.
Yeah, that's right. Depending on what you're doing.
Everybody tries to aggregate.
I guess my only concern is the word measurably.
Does it fit?
Automatically, if it goes to court, it eliminates dwelling, because it does. Legislative council said it means 1 cent.
You say that?
I said that if it could be interpreted to be an absolute, and what the testimony is that those situations wouldn't arise. But in terms of a legal interpretation, measurably means you can measure it, you can quantify it.
Representative Priestley.
I'd like to ask for the question to be divided. I mean, while Andy said it was friendly, I'm asking that Representative Van Leeuwen wants to be divided. Can I do that?
Yes. We can vote.
How?
We can vote.
Cost and operation.
We can vote on the motion, Representative Van Leeuwen's motion, that
major change in farming operation.
It would be a major change in farming operation and a major increase to the cost of accepting the farming operation.
And may I say that a major change in the farming practice might also be a major change in cost, or it might not. It could be either way. I mean, it would depend on what the circumstance was. Likely it would be an increase in cost, but not necessarily. That made it any more clear?
Madam Chair?
Representative Parkinson.
What do the planners think of the motion? I appreciate her testimony.
Well, we've got two planners that I know of. We may have more, because I don't know some of the people sitting in the back of the room.
Any that are awake.
Any of the planners that are awake, if you'd like to come up. I mean, you're quite alert. There's fresh coffee in the back, too.
Can you phrase the question for us?
They weren't awake.
No, I just want to make sure that I give the answer the committee is interested in.
We just want to know, Representative Parkinson asked what the planners thought of Representative Van Leeuwen's motion.
I think the planners are concerned about the legality of a 1 cent measurable increase, so getting the measurable increase out is something we would desire. Major changes in accepted farming practices probably can be translated into major changes in the cost. So I'm not sure in my own mind that you need both of them. If you have major change in the cost, I think you're getting at the core of the issue.
I think I'd agree with Russ that I think the one clause is really sufficient, because I think the cost would be included in that. Any court test probably would involve the cost.
Madam Chair?
Representative Drew.
I understand the concern with measurably increase. Major change goes far too far the other way. If there's somewhere that's a middle ground attempting to protect the integrity of that criteria, fine. But I think
my
that
motion
that,
is a middle ground.
No, I don't think, I don't perceive your motion to be a middle ground.
Bit.
Well, I don't perceive that to be a middle ground, because I think major change and major increase in cost is extreme.
It's significant, lesser.
You can drive 17 Mack trucks side by side through that loophole.
Is there another word that comes somewhere down the middle between measurably and major? Since you can't measure a value, a dollar value, is there another?
Substantial.
Representative Hill?
How about if we just make the owner of the dwelling liable for any increased cost?
Do that
if I may, Madam Chairman,
yes.
In our task force meeting, the example was given by Dick Benner of a situation in Marion County where a farmer would have had to move a culvert at a cost of $500 to provide access to this non-farm home site, but that otherwise there was no impact. And I just suggested, why couldn't the guy who wanted the home site pay the farmer the $500 or offer to move the culvert for him and have some kind of a compensation provision? And we discussed that, and there was some concern that we were wading into an area that would probably be difficult to get out of. But the idea that Representative Hill has presented of minor costs or up to a certain point there being negotiation between the farmer and the non-farm homeowner to resolve any financial implications is something you may want to consider.
It also put the burden on the farmer rather than on the county to go to that homeowner and say, it's going to cost you $500 because I have to do this, or I have to move my peppermint field because the sprinklers are going to keep you awake.
$500.
And so I'm going to have a loss of $3,000 a year income, and you'll have to make good on something like that.
$300,000
Very seldom you run into an unethical farmer, but you can have the farmer that would say, give me $200, I won't object.
That's true.
Yeah.
Well, Madam Chair, the way we phrased it was there would have to be a measurable increase, that the county would have to make a finding that it was an identifiable amount, and then the negotiation would go on around that amount.